Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
The Wildside News has been bringing you a full spectrum of information about the future of this earth, the forests, the oceans, and the miraculous animals. I can honestly say that I wish I could feature nothing but stories and updates on the wonders of animal communication, the grand mysteries of the oceans, and the great spirit of life that we all share. But it is because so many on this earth are compelled to take the best or the most, regardless of the loss, that I have to regularly talk about the myriad threats to the future of life on this earth. And what seems most directly to drive this all is the momentum of the last century, the great industrial age that morphed into the information age and brought the capacity to know more and get more faster and faster. The lust for more was driven generally by the economic needs of ever larger corporations. And the corporations became enmeshed in politics and power, and money was the driving advantage. Those of us who knew that this could not continue endlessly have for years been talking and writing and debating and organizing to effectively challenge what John Perkins, author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, called the corporatocracy. And it was no secret that oil and the power associated with oil was the master of the world. Historically, the price and availability of oil dramatically impacted whole cultures and nations. Recall the cars lined up at gas pumps in the 70s during our first oil crisis. And there are plenty of critics who associate the war in Iraq with its oil. In the developing world, nations with oil pay a price. And now, global warming, due almost entirely to the burning of carbon-rich oil around the world, is recognized for what it is: a threat to the balance of life on Earth, as ancient living systems that have taken billions of years to find balance in nature are thrown into convulsions to adapt or die to the swift changes in oceans, seasons, air, and water. And now, directly this week, a barrel of oil hit $58. It's all based on what environmentalists have talked about for over 50 years: limits. There are limits to what the earth can provide. There are limits to what the living systems can endure before they break down. And finally, the corporatocracy has reached its limit. Without necessarily proclaiming the death of the age of oil, they have now proclaimed the universal global need to develop a whole new economy and a world based on new renewable energy sources. They are ready. They have money. They are ready to invest. They are committed to making it happen. They are promoting it from the highest levels. That is the good news. I am happy to announce the official death of the oil age and the birth of what the new environmentally friendly captains of industry have termed and will promote henceforth: the clean tech revolution. In a unique new commitment, the world's leading venture capitalists and environmentalists are now officially working for the same end. Last week, I journeyed up to San Jose, where 350 of the world's largest economic powerhouses met to forge and promote the Institutional Investors Clean Tech Conference. I believe this was an historic event, and I will dedicate the rest of the show to give you my best analysis of what was said, what this means, and how this will change our world. I guarantee every one of you, we have turned a corner. We can begin to take a deep breath of relief and begin to realign our dreams and our hopes for a world that makes sense, for a future that is based on science and reason, and a refreshing new vision of how corporations, businesses, workers, nations, and generations to come will strive to invent and create a world in which economics and ecosystems find peace. The new energy age is here. Pass it on. I'll repeat that. The new energy age is here. It's called clean tech.
So, we have a chance to do bold things, not only for the environment, but for our investors. What's exciting to me is someone who comes from the technology sector is that technology is here.
Let's start out with a partial list of those attending this historic conference. General Electric, Honda, Unilever, Florida Power and Light, Semper Energy, and then lots and lots of groups with names with venture, like Carlyle Venture Partners, Pacific Corporate Group, Rockport Capital Partners, Moore Davidow Ventures, Vantage Point Venture Partners, Kleiner, Perkins, Caulfield, and Byers. The event was sponsored by CalPERS and CalSTRS, the giant public employee and teacher retirement funds in California, who were mandated by California State Treasurer Phil Angelides to invest a reasonable portion of their investment funds, which total over $300 billion, that's billion with a B, in clean technologies that will help California develop industries, jobs, security, and a cleaner environment. This is California's State Treasurer Phil Angelides.
At CalPERS, we have committed $500 million to investing in companies that earn superior returns by upholding their environmental responsibilities. We have set a goal of reducing energy consumption in our massive real estate portfolios by 25% over the next 5 years, enough to power 50,000 homes each year. We have launched together a new era of shareholder activism to prod companies to improve their environmental practices and to pay heed to the risk of global warming, protecting the financial bottom line and our environment too. And we have begun, to harness the power of our pension funds, the capital of America, to encourage and speed along the work you are doing by committing $450 million to invest in renewable energy and alternative fuels and clean environmental technologies for the future.
Leading the clean tech future has fallen to states whose economies leave them no choice but to make wise choices about their economic futures. And those wise choices are fueling a broad spectrum of investments and therefore commitments to what used to be called alternative energy, wind, solar, the stuff Jimmy Carter championed long, long ago.
In the 1980s, we saw the burgeoning of silicon semiconductors, PCs coming out, a whole new foundation of technology that enabled the software revolution, the internet revolution, and so on. We're seeing that same foundation in place in the clean tech investing world. I believe that in clean tech, we're in the same place we were in high tech in the early 80s. Fuel cells are poised to grow from a $700 billion industry into an almost $14 billion industry in a decade. So in every facet of the environmental world, breakthroughs being made. These are the things on which many of you will take it to the next level, things we have not yet dreamed of.
With these massive state financial commitments to putting solar on rooftops, building all schools with solar, the kinds of things we have talked about regularly on the Wild Side News, and with the uncertainty in the oil futures, the large corporate investors got on board.
So in a word, your timing being here today is perfect. Whatever you pay to come to the conference, a bargain. You're about to benefit from what I call, I think, the trifecta of the environmental and the global movement that is going to lead towards successes. Companies. I think you're uniquely positioned to get in on the ground floor of clean tech. Here's why I think the timing is so perfect. The amount of money the governments, not just in the U.S. or around the world, are spending on oil is not sustainable. Recently hit $57 a barrel, maybe it's down a little bit. My friends, it is not coming down anytime soon. You know that world demand for oil is increasing. At the same time, reserves are depleting. You know the quality of the world's oil is getting worse. My friends, I see oil prices going up. This is a huge beneficiary to most of you and the firms you may be investing in. So the other part is the trifecta. Oil prices are going up. Your timing can't be better. The second thing, Kyoto Protocol is going to affect around the world. You're seeing pushes from government, not just CalPERS, Congress, other countries around the world. Last week, Canada signing on to put pressure on Detroit to build cleaner vehicles. Governments around the world are going to push this issue. in concert with the economy. Anytime you get economic factors moving in the same direction as public opinion and governmental factors, you're going to see change happen rapidly. Those who get there before others are going to be huge beneficiaries. I hope it will be long to those of you and your companies in this room to become first movers in understanding how global regulatory trends are going to shape the marketplace. If you do that, we'll stand to become a big winner. The third part of the trifecta, new technologies. I talked about it earlier, things that simply weren't possible. Fuel sales to other alternative energies are now being made more cheaply and are accessible. These three things together, used in concert, would be what helps the companies of the future be successful, take advantage of it.
The conference featured lots and lots of case studies, which have been collected and are now demonstrating investments in clean tech. We must never refer to these as alternative energies again. Let's say this together three times. Clean tech, clean tech, clean tech. That is the mantra. Investments in clean tech over the past 10 to 20 years have actually performed better than other industrial sectors. And as we all know, the money goes where the money flows, and it's flowing to clean tech. Why is this happening now? The answers, although couched in the numbo-jumbo of investment bankers, sounded very much like a lot of the things we have been talking about for a very long time.
And in the last year, we all have been reminded how essential it is to take the high road that the green wave represents. When I spoke before the Clean Tech Venture Forum last year, the price of crude oil was $35 a barrel. Today, it's $55 a barrel. The soaring cost of oil is just one measure of the price we are paying in this country for our dependence on dwindling and polluting resources. We have put our national security and our economy and our environment at risk, and they will remain in peril as long as we drift in a petroleum haze. We cannot continue to ignore that reality. I believe deeply that America and California, most of all, must go down the high road, where we have the most livable cities, the cleanest environment, and the best educated workers in the world, so we can compete for and win the high-wage jobs of the future. Jobs that you and I can't even imagine today.
As the effects of global warming continue to be felt, and pressures to reduce the carbon content of our air are mandated around the world, companies will prosper which offer products and processes that assist in this effort, and companies that lag behind will suffer dramatically.
At the end of this day, and you and I know this, the only way we can prevail in the global economy as Americans, as Californians, is to have the best environment, the best workforce, to lengthen our competitive advantages. And that means making sure that more of our young people, not fewer, have the skills to compete in the increasingly tough global economy and to participate in the green wave revolution that we are creating here today. We have the scientists, we have the engineers, and the research institutions to be on the leading edge of environmental technology. We have the manufacturing expertise and the skilled workers. We have the culture of entrepreneurship and the tradition of imagining the next new thing, sometime on the lab bench, sometimes in the garage. And we have a citizenry that is eager to preserve our environment. We cannot count in the 21st century on filling our need for innovators and dreamers by importing them. From Europe to India to China, they have figured out human talent is the goal of the 21st century, and they are keeping it for themselves.
The investment world is looking for the new technology which will ignite the economic momentum of creative synergy, much like the digital revolution did during the 90s. In that ballroom at the Fairmont Hotel were decision makers representing $2.5 trillion worth of investment capital. I will repeat that, $2.5 trillion. Venture capitalists are the avant-garde of economic artistry. This is where the visionaries play, and they play big. And here is what is now the new game.
And first off, being after lunch, we've offered up a cartoon for all of you, and the caption is, "I do know one thing, gentlemen, if we don't plug into the environment right now, we're going to be missing out on a lot of big EnviroBucks."
It's clean tech. It has a proven track record of success. The massive investment by states is pushing the pulse of its development. With the participation of the venture capital players, the commitment to this new economic and energy future can be realized in, and those who get it in now and invest will achieve strategic advantages in this emerging sector. The commitment to the clean tech future must involve the giant players to succeed. But once put into motion, the benefits to investors, with the explosion of secondary and tertiary matrix of businesses, jobs, and technologies, will lead to a secure, competitive, healthier, environmentally friendly America that will compete in the new game of nations known as the global economy. It was fascinating to see the interest, the spark, the energy, and the power of these grand captains of capital as they wanted in. There was a unique irony as well, for addressing the event were names we are all familiar with: William Riley, former administrator of the United States Environmental Protection Agency; Ralph Kavanaugh, co-director of the Natural Resources Defense Council; and the founder, ironically, of the Apollo Alliance, Joel Rogers, whose dream this was, and he shared the dais with Bob Grady, managing partner of the Carlyle Venture Partners. As Bob Grady said, "As someone representing the Carlyle Group, which many claim is in charge of the worldwide conspiracy, clean tech is now part of that worldwide conspiracy." To conspire means, literally, to breathe together. Let's all join this conspiracy and take a long, deep breath together, a giant sigh of relief that finally we are working together. When we return, we take a look at what this will mean for you and your family, and what you can do to join the worldwide conspiracy for a better world. When we return, here, on your Voice of the Earth, the Wild Side News.